Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Dustin Lewis and I'm with Chris Gordon on Hellblazer.
Everyone, I have the proud honor and the privilege to welcome back to Hellblazer Beers, Dustin Lewis, my friend, because I think it's 4 years to the day today.
4 years to the day.
26th of July.
So it's That's so crazy.
Yeah, 4 years to the day since you first came on, as you can see, is that way. Yeah.
Talking about Sleepy Hollow mostly at that point.
We were. That's what I've got in here, I think. Yeah, because you've just gone on to Sleepy Hollow. So, yeah, that was the main thing at the time. But, yeah, God, how times have moved on.
Yeah, right. Things have changed a lot in 4 years.
Yeah. So, that was my first question. Actually, so last time we spoke, obviously you've been in Sleepy Hollow, but since then you've now got credits with House of Cards, Ozark, The Resident, Nashville, Cobra Kai, obviously. and about three times as many more.
Yeah, it's been a good few years, you know, and it's so interesting with this job that we do. You know, it's so up and down, but when you look at it all together, you're like, yeah, I guess I haven't been busy for the past 4 years, you know? You know, and you know just as well as anybody too, is like, and sometimes you do things and it doesn't come out, you know. Won't be seen by the public anyway.
Yeah.
For, you know, a year, sometimes 2 years. You know, there's some things that I saw at Sundance a few years ago that are just now coming out, you know? So, so that's also kind of a weird, like, you know, it's like, well, I haven't really been doing much in these past four months. And then all your stuff comes out in three months. And everybody's like, oh, you've been busy. I'm like, Have I really been busy?
Yeah. You've been stressing out, worrying where the bills are going to be paid from.
Right. And you're being like, where are all the auditions? Because it's been slow, you know. And everybody else is like, wow, you're killing it. You blah, blah, blah. You know, all that.
Yeah. No, and that is something that is very typical, like you say, of the acting world. And it's so... I do keep forgetting, because whenever I talk to people, you know, you see the IMDb and it's like you say, they're all coming out. But as you said, there's periods of time you probably sat there for like four or even 12 months where you just sat there and you're really banging out as many auditions as you can, because it's just taking that long for a show. I mean, I'm about to speak to someone else whose film is, I think it's, we spoke 2 or 3 years ago, and she made a film, and it's now just got to the screener stage to go to festivals. So it does take a long time to get something through.
It's insane. And there's a wonderful film. Everybody should buy it and watch it. I'm not in it, so it's not just because of that. It's called Burden. And we saw it at Sundance. I was in Come Sunday, which was at Sundance. So that's the reason I was going that year. Which you should also rent and watch on Netflix. It's a great film called Come Sunday with Chiwetel Ejiofor and Jason Segel. And so a really wonderful cast. But Burden, yeah, we saw it. We loved it. It was my favorite thing. Oh, that and Hereditary, if you've seen Hereditary. It's the same year Hereditary, which is the horror movie with Toni Collette. But so Burden just finally was released like a few months ago. And that's been 2.5 years ago, you know? And it was shot here, and I have friends in it. I keep telling everybody about this film, and I'm like, oh, wait, it hasn't come out yet. Yeah, so that happens a lot. And with now, you know, I think with COVID and the theaters being mainly closed and stuff like that, like I have 3 movies that I filmed that, I mean, I don't know what they're planning on doing with it yet.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, it's crazy. You actually said, what was the other film? Not Burden, the other one.
Come Sunday?
No, the other one with Toni Collette.
Oh, Hereditary. Oh,
that's actually on my... I just seen that on Netflix, literally, and I thought, right, we'll save that for tonight.
Oh, get ready. It's a ride.
Is it?
Oh, it's one of my favorite horror films. It's one of my favorite films. The cast is just so good, so it elevates that horror. Mm-hmm. So, like, you've got, like, some of the best actors you've ever seen, plus just an awesome storyline, and it's something else. And when we were at Sundance watching it, we were like literally like the second audience to watch it. And even some of the special effects weren't done yet.
Yeah.
and people were jumping and screaming like six times. And these are all, you know, film people. It's fun. It was great. It was great. You'll love it.
Brilliant. Fantastic. What's your favorite film genre then, Justin?
Oh man, you know, I honestly, and this is not even a, oh, I love everything. I like it all. I really do. If it's a good, well-made film that, and not even well-made, if it tells a good story, you know, I love it. You know, I'll watch anything from Grace and Frankie, you know, like a mm-hmm. series like that, or Monty Python type stuff to like, you know, anything like, you know, some of the more dramatic or sappy films, you know? So, you know. I love it all. Steel Magnolias. Love that movie. You know,
I challenge anyone to keep a dry eye watching that.
I know, right? Yeah, you are not human if you, yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
But it's really, you know, and I think that's part of just being a storyteller too. Like, I mean, like, I love to see, because there's something about every project, whether you see an actor that goes and you go, oh man, that moment was so beautiful. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, just being affected by content, I think, is so cool. And I think that's what during this pandemic has kept a lot of people sane, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
Is be able to watch stories and be able to escape a little bit from what's going on in the world, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I know that's something in the UK, and it probably is the same in the US as well. There's been a massive surge because with the COVID and obviously the 4 months or whatever that, you know, 5 months nearly we that in the UK we've had it as well, is they've not helped the arts much at all. The months went by where there's nothing going on, and I was fully supportive that we're friends on Facebook for years, so we've seen, you know, I know that you have as well. So I've seen, it's just pushing to say that people who don't think the arts actually are valuable, it's like, right now, yeah, which
it's, but they'll just click onto Netflix or whatever else, or, yeah, you know, to be like, oh, I just binged, you know, 24 hours of 4 shows. I'm like, exactly. Oh, okay, well, it's, then yeah, yeah. It's important for you.
Exactly. Right, yeah. Exactly.
Well, it's live theater. I mean, you know that, I come from doing live theater, and I've been mm-hmm. trying to do everything I can to support, but you know, there's other causes that I, you know, it's everybody I think is in that situation, especially if you're super empathetic to that side of the business. And then my friends that are at restaurants, so we're trying to like go and get takeout as much as we can from,
yeah,
you know, certain restaurants,
those businesses as well.
And you know, one thing that I've been doing, and I've got actually this week, the Old Vic is doing online live streaming shows.
Oh, nice.
So they just did Lungs. So we watched that, which I've done a couple scenes from in class. And then Andrew Scott's doing a one man show coming up.
Oh, cool.
I'm obsessed with him. He's one of my favorites. Yeah. Mm. But so he's doing a one man show. So, you know, I think those are the great ways that, you know, we can all support, especially live theater. I think honestly, our business as far as TV and film, of course, we're not working.
Yeah.
We're not working. Right. period. Like it's not even, it's slowly starting to come back a little bit, but people are consuming more content for sure. Which is good, you know, which is great, you know, for us on that side of it too. I've discovered, I'm sure as many other people have, some things that I would have probably never, ever discovered because of the quarantine. So it excites me to go, oh, I've discovered this new actor or this new storyteller or writer or producer or something that's producing this cool content across all forms of, you know, media right now, which I think that's what's really awesome about us being able to sit back and take time to consume different content.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And I think that the fact that there are now so many platforms, you know, like, yeah, you know, you know, if they want to sponsor me, Netflix, for name dropping, the Netflix, Disney Plus, you've got Amazon Prime, you've got Hulu,
oh, yeah.
You've got so many, and they've been such a portal for all of these, in lots of, especially a lot of independent films as well, which you normally wouldn't get to see, sadly, but they're actually, you know, they're championing those as well. I mean, the amount of disaster
and some shorts. I mean, there's some short content too on Netflix now that I'm like, oh, cool. Well, I didn't even, you know, or Sundance, mm-hmm. the Sundance has a channel too that if I always suggest, if you want to really dig into some like kind of unknown filmmakers or things that just won't, more mainstream places won't take, mm-hmm. Sundance has a channel as well, and then service. That's really cool. It's really cool. I mean, there's series two that have like five seasons that I've watched. Yeah. Now I'm like, how did I miss this? This is so good. You know?
Brilliant. It's great. And I'd say, I think it's definitely the theatre one as well. We'll go into theatre as well later on, but there's definitely the one thing that's really, I've got to say lately in the epidemic is the way, I'm not going to go into politics too much, don't worry, because I know, I could talk, our certain prime minister.
Just see my social media for my political views.
Yeah, oh yes. And mine.
I'm happy to share them.
Yeah. I think we're aligned, so it's fine. Right. I can see on our views.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, no, Boris has obviously, he opened all the pubs and what you said about the theatres as well, with the live streaming of those solo performances, like Andrew Scott, would be great. But it's a bugbear to me because I think they've opened pubs and he goes, go back to the pubs. He's apparently our patriotic duty as a British person to go to the pub.
Yeah,
I would say it's great. A patriotic duty to go to the theatre because you can adhere to this social distancing so much easier in a theatre. I mean, even if you're not selling the house out, you maybe sell every one in three seats or something. You've got enough distance there.
Well, and you're not contributing to alcoholism.
Exactly, yeah.
So which is more patriotic, really? Yeah. I mean, I'm just kidding. I'm kind of. That's the thing. It's like now, I can't remember. Can we cuss on here or not?
It's fine.
I was going to say what a shit show the United States is right now. We're figuring out all kinds of things that are what makes us Americans that I had no idea that, you know, that was part of it. So we feel you on that. And, you know, the height of embarrassment for a lot of Americans right now is beyond belief. So,
Yeah,
well, I feel you.
We can't laugh at you anymore as Brit, because we were. The orange person in charge is was a laughing stock, but then obviously we got Boris, and he's just a microcosm.
It's like, come on.
So it's like, really?
Have we learned nothing? Come on.
Yeah. It's like, why do we always have to copy America? It's
Don't. I do not suggest it at this point for any country to copy anything that we're doing. Yeah. You can quote me on that. That's fine.
Cool. That, yeah, politics aside, that's
fine. There we go. We got it in, so that's good.
But yeah, that's the love, and I think that is what people are seeing as well. People, like you say, people like we spoke before, people who didn't recognize it and now realizing that, you know, the arts industry and the TV, the productions that they're watching wouldn't be possible without people like yourself and obviously the cinematographers, the grips, the cameramen, the sound engineers, the makeup, everybody involved.
Well, so many people involved, as you know, in a single production that, like, there's so many people out of work. And I think maybe sometimes general consumers of content that don't know anybody maybe that's in the business at all, don't understand that, like, there's so many families out of work because of this. And some of those families that work, you know, and do their side hustle if they're not working constantly on TV and film, at restaurants. So then they're doubly screwed, you know? So it's like, you know, especially a lot of ours, everybody knows, like, gosh, I've waited. I literally, it's been when I was, 4 years ago, I think I was still working in a restaurant when I talked to you last time.
I think you
it's
were.
Been, it's only been over like the past 3.5 years, 3 years that I've let that go. And I teach more now, but you know, that's what I do, as my other gig beside acting. But, yeah, and so it's hit our industry, you know, the theater industry and us even harder to an extent, you know.
Well, yeah, definitely, because your backup gigs have also gone. So,
yeah, exactly, and I can't do any like computer programming from home or anything. That's not where you know. So let's
you're right. It's just a really tough situation. So hopefully that will start easing off soon. And you got, you know, like you say, we've seen a slow return to it now. Even some of the long running soap operas in the UK, like they have in the States, they had to stop because obviously COVID. They stopped. They started up again now, but there were several weeks. Like my wife, for example, was in total denial because her favorite soap just had to stop for the first time in 30 odd years.
Yeah,
and she was like, "What do I do now?"
Right, my schedule.
my schedule's everything. Gone.
Yeah, yeah, it's been weird, you know. And thankfully, you know, we're better off than a lot of people. So that's you know, any of that's not a complaint or anything like that. It's just the truth. It's just
going on. As I say, it's just I'm not trying to demean anybody else. I've got lots of friends who are they've either been furloughed. Well, lucky enough if they've been furloughed, but then if they've not been furloughed, then they're just desperately trying to struggle to find somewhere.
It's across everything.
It's across everything. Well, something else I know, this was quite a few years ago. I think it might have been. I remember the excitement of First Man as well, because obviously that was a cracking film.
Yes!
I remember when you were the excitement of you announcing that on Facebook. So what was it like to be part of that one?
I'll tell you what, it was really cool. I mean, to work with those just everybody involved and the magnitude of that film. But I got cut out of the movie, pretty much. I had a whole scene with, I mean, this is the way it goes, you know what I mean? Yeah. I had a whole scene with Ryan Gosling. I filmed I had these small snippets. If you watched it, there's a scene where Claire Foy is, I played Ralph Morris, who was a really prolific photographer, probably one of the most prolific photographers of the last century. Mm-hmm. He started with the space program from the inception of it. So they really counted him as another astronaut. They really called him he was the first war photographer as young as he was at 18 to go. He was the youngest to go an actual. And so, I mean, he's in some of the pictures, like he took the picture of, if you know that Einstein photo of the messy desk.
Yeah.
Einstein's desk. He took that photo.
Wow.
You know, so, I mean, he's really prolific and, you know, of course, we all think our roles are important, and he's an important part of that history. Mm-hmm. But they cut so much out of that movie. Like, I know how much they filmed, and like, you know, because I had the script, I had everything. Damien Chazelle was amazing about sending us this 350-page document with inspirations from shots for every moment. It was incredible to watch, and it's something really special to be able to look back on. But yeah, so for the shoot. 2.5-3 days that I actually shot it, there's just one like picture of me taking a couple pictures of Claire, but I got to hang out with Claire Foy. I mean, come on,
yeah, exactly.
And Damien Chazelle and Ryan, and you know,
yeah,
it was a wonderful experience, you know.
And that's a part of it as well. It's, you know, these things happen. It was at the end, you end up on the editor's floor, but it's the experience you get that you get to work with all these different people. And all the different experiences that they bring in that you can actually take away with you as well.
Oh, incredible, incredible. And just the way they shot it, everything was 360. So like they built a house that looked exactly like their house. So that's where we shot mostly. They literally built from the floor up a whole house that looked, the detail was amazing. So they shot everything they shot, you could shoot 360. It wasn't sound, for the home especially. And just listening to them work. And then, you know, the director photographer, you know, is a Oscar award winning, to hear how they all worked together. It was such a great learning experience, period. And, you know, you just learn not to be too precious with your work because it just might not be there when you go to see it in the theater, you know? Yeah. You know, that's just something you learn, and you can't let that crush you, and you move on, you know?
Yeah, no, that's a good attitude to have, because I'd be distraught. To be fair, I'd be distraught. I'd be sitting there. I'll be waiting for the whole movie, and I'd be going, hang on a minute. Whoa. I'm going to stop.
Yeah, right. Where am I?
Yeah. I'm supposed to be there.
It was such a good movie, though. It didn't do quite as well as it should have, I think. I don't know why, but it was such a good movie.
I think it's probably one of those slow burners that picks up as now it's on networks and stuff. It'll pick up and it'll just, you know, it'll turn into one of those, which would be good.
It was beautifully shot.
Yeah, there's some stunning cinematography in it. There really was.
Yeah.
Excellent. Cool. And you're still, I mean, something else you just mentioned as well, obviously, you're still working with Catherine Dyer and Aaron
Burns. Yeah. We teach a class together.
You teach the Meisner, don't you?
Not with her. We teach a class called The Breakdown, which is a preparation and memorization class. But yeah, but I teach the Meisner program on my own. But we still teach together. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, she was great. Erin was great. I loved chatting to her as well, and Catherine as well. Both of them were.
Oh, yeah, they're great. Everybody. Erin Danger.
Oh, sorry, Aaron Burns.
Aaron Burns, of course. Yeah. That was way back in the day.
That was way back, yeah. That was a long time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
She moved down, has she? Has she moved into
She's like an online guru now.
I've seen loads of the videos that she does, and she puts across. They're like,
yeah, she's doing really well. She's a great following. She's great teacher, you know. So
yeah. Erin Banger's coming on my show as well. She's accepted. So we're talking about that too, because obviously she's Erin, the other Erin.
Oh, Erin Danger, yes. And she's one of my students, so it was cool. I got to be on my first day on set. She was wrapping up her first day, so mm-hmm. I came a little later, so I got to watch her film, like all the cafeteria scene in season one, and the big fight in the cafeteria, and all that stuff. It was fun.
Excellent. That must be good to see, as you say, when she was your student, and you can go and see her work, and especially on the same show that you've got.
Oh, yeah, I was like, oh my gosh, congrats, this is awesome. You know, we all are all so supportive of each other, you know.
That's one thing I love as well, especially with the Cobra Kai as well. Not just the fan base, we'll go on again, the fan base is awesome. But you guys as actors, you're all very, very, you're all based in, most of you are based in Atlanta, should I say. So you've all got that network there that you're all really supportive of each other and each other's work.
It's so great to see everybody. I mean, you know, I still like, you know, fan out when I see people on TV that I fully know they're in it. I'm like, wait, look, it's Erin. There she is. She did such a good job. You know, I don't know. It's fun. It's still fun, you know.
So obviously it's not just this, we talk about stage, you're not just screen, you're stage as well. Have you done much stage since we last spoke?
I haven't done anything. Okay. I've been pretty busy with everything. You know, and it's hard because it does pull you away, mm-hmm. you know, for a solid amount of time. So there's a lot of adjustment to be. And quite a few of the theaters, especially back, you know, a few years ago, don't do a lot of understudies here, mm-hmm. unfortunately. I mean, the bigger ones do that are, you know, more bigger equity houses. Yeah. But so it's hard, you know, you have to pull yourself out for 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
Of TV and film, so.
Well, yeah, exactly. Matt Lewis said the same thing, actually. That's exactly the same, to be fair. He was saying about the same thing. There's no understudy. A lot of them don't do understudies. And you're right, for theatre production, when you've got to give, 2 months of your time up, and, you know, how much opportunity could you miss if you can't audition for anything or can't just pick up a commercial or something in the meantime?
Well, and then navigating if you're doing, like, for me, teaching too, because, you know, I teach a lot in the evening, so with, you know, figuring out rehearsal and all that kind of stuff and then having people take over my class, I would honestly mm-hmm. just be out so much money as well on top of it. A lot of my income, because theater of course doesn't pay nearly as well, mm-hmm. in a general sense, depending. So, you know, it's just really navigating it and kind of having to plan it. Like, if I would do something, I'd have to, like, know about it for, like, 4 months and, like, you know, be able to plan it. So that's probably the only way that I'll end up doing something is if it's really structured and planned out that I know all my bases are covered. So
no, that's fair enough.
I miss it, though.
I did it years ago. I'd love to get back on the stage. I think it's 20. How old am I now? 25 years ago since I was amateur dramatic stuff, but it was just, you know, I'd love to do that. It's an experience and a half of the exhilaration of getting on stage, and
it's great. I love it.
Helen Irvin, who's one of the fans, she actually said, talking about theater, she's kind of just got a couple of questions. So we'll go on to the first one. You've worked in so many spectrums of the entertainment industry. Which has actually been your favorite?
Oh my gosh. There's so many great things about, I mean, when I used to work on cruise ships, I mean, it was so, you'd like travel around the world, especially when I was a singer. Cause like we just, what we say, park and bark, right? Mm-hmm. So we like that walk out, sing my song, walk off, you know, then go to the buffet that night. And, you know, and go all over the world on ships, which was great. But I mean, right now, though, I love what we do within this medium of TV and film and on-camera work. I think mm-hmm. part of the reason why is that I think there's an energy of the theater that I miss. Mm-hmm. And I think every, you know, with live audience and all that. But there's something really interesting about how on film, TV and film, there's so much to learn about it. Mm-hmm. That I think it's something that, and it's ever changing, right? Yeah. That like you know, I'm diving more into like learning more about editing and, you know, cinematography and stuff like that. So I can understand how I can help in my, you know, my, my cog in the wheel, how I can be more productive for everybody else as an actor as well, because, you know, we just aren't there to, you know, willy-nilly just say our lines and do our thing. You know, you have to know, you have to know the adjustment for a close-up, and you have to know, you know, a wide, you know, all that stuff. It's all technical as well, which I think is really cool. You know, where in theater, I mean, you rehearse it, you've got it down, and there's that wonderful energy from the audience, which I miss so much. But but once you're rolling, of course, you're in the moment, work is there, but you pretty much know what's going to happen to an extent, right? Of course, not the emotional life, and like somebody could drop a line, all that, of course. But I think structurally, I think TV and film becomes, in a way, a little bit more exciting. And it becomes more of a challenge sometimes to me in the sense of the business end, because it's like, I don't know. It's like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just like, not the word's not a glutton for punishment, but you kind of just don't know what's going to happen next or when your next job is, and you audition a lot. So I think you're working more, right? Continually working and taking class and memorizing sides. And, and in that, it's way harder in a sense than theater. But then you get a show and then you're like, oh shit, I'm on stage for like 2 hours straight. You know what I mean? And you don't have time for a pee break. And you know, there's each has their own things. But right now, let's just say right now, TV and film on camera work. That's you know, you'll talk to me another 4 years. I'll be like, I've been doing theater. I want to take a break from TV and film. You know, who knows?
Yeah, that's the other thing with theater as well. Because with TV and film, although you do learn your script and everything there, because if you did forget, you've got it right there. You can just quickly nip off, you know, have a quick read of it, go back on again. With theater, that's it. That's 2.5 hours. You've got to memorize everything.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, and like I said, both ways of working are, you know, have huge challenges and huge benefits and huge. So, and I mean, anybody you talk to that does both are like, you know. I think it's the same kind of thing, right?
Definitely. That actually brings me on, because Helen also mentioned something else, but we just started to touch on it there, where you said you're learning more about the other side of it. And she actually said, well, maybe would you like to learn and work more behind the camera as well?
My husband and I started Chipper Dog Productions. We have our own production company. And we shot our first short called Perchance to Dream. And so that's finished, and we were getting ready to like send it out to, you know, all kinds of festivals, things like that. And we submitted to some, but COVID. So even some of them that we sent to have canceled completely. Oh. So yeah, absolutely. I would love to direct at some point for sure. And I produced, you know, helped produce and was in this one. Absolutely. I'd love to direct at some point, you know, And I that really has been supported by a lot of, when I did Ozark and Jason Bateman was directing, he's such a good director. And I think a lot of times some of the best directors, not, you don't necessarily have to be an actor to be a director, of course, but on our side, it's so lovely to have an actor that's a director, you know.
Yeah, you get to helps us. Yeah, because they understand your side. It's a mutual understanding and a mutual sort of respect that of what the other people are doing.
Absolutely.
And I think it probably does help a lot. Not that I've got that experience in there, but from the people I talk to.
But that's it. Yeah, it is. Well, you speak a similar language, you know, and then because I've had the gamut of it. Like, and then you have Damien Chazelle, who's not really, he's not an actor, but he's like a brilliant director, you know. But then I've also had, you know, directors that were mainly like directors of photography. So or somebody, you know, somebody that's a producer or something that really hasn't doesn't know how to speak to actors. And then I've worked with a few of those directors before, and to literally just help them talk to actors. And I've had people in my class that are directors, so they could get that experience to see what it's like.
Excellent, excellent. That is really, really good. And I think it's nice to have that all around and to move on and do things like that. It would be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Before I start moving about, itchy nose, apologies. talking about Cobra Kai. The one thing I've got to say about musicals is, I mentioned this to you at the beginning, because when I was looking at your resume, I was like, oh, I completely forgot when I was reading it that you were in a musical. It's one I'm desperate to see it live. I really am. Avenue Q. And you happen to play, I listened to it on the soundtrack because there's the one song, because you happen to play my favorite character of Trekkie.
Oh, yeah. And they did it in that production, they did it a little differently. So I played Trekkie and then also, oh my gosh, what's his name?
I think it's Ron, was it? Ron or Ron?
Ron. Yeah.
Because, that song's great. I was actually showing my wife his voice. Like,
oh, it's, yeah, it's all porn. Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah. That was fun.
Sorry, Kate Monster.
You got it down. See, when they revive it in the UK, then you can.
Yeah, I'll go for it. I've been trying. I just thought it's like Yoda, but speaking normally, because I'd do my Yoda voice in the first. I was trying to do Trekkie when I heard it, and I was just like, you just put the...
Yeah, there you go. You just like, place it a little bit differently. Yeah, that's awesome.
I love that. Was that one line? That one line, she goes, oh, yeah. She goes, normal people. She goes, you're not like normal because, really? You have no idea.
Yeah, right?
Come on, normal people.
I love it.
It's great. Sorry. Okay. So obviously, awesome. With Cobra Kai, which is the reason I didn't really, to be fair, I've got to admit, I was very ignorant. I didn't realize you were being on Cobra Kai. We were sat watching it, binge watching, and you came on screen as Mr. Palmer, and I was like, that's Dustin.
Yeah. I don't do a ton in the series, but I think it continues to kind of be my career in the past few years. Is that I don't do I don't have a lot in it, but I have memorable scenes in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, are you a fan of Karate? Were you a fan of Karate Kid? Are you a fan of the original Karate Kid? So, how did it feel getting Cobra Kai?
I mean, it's so cool because because I was in the first season, of course, we didn't know what it was going to end up being. And I didn't have, I didn't, except for a few things, with it, going and seeing Aaron on set and then going to shoot myself, and see, kind of the structure of it. We kind of didn't know, I didn't know really what was going on or what point of view it was going to be through because we didn't have that much information, right? So when you're shooting. And if you're not like a series regular, I had that full script, but that's about it. Mm-hmm. But the energy was great around it. I had a blast shooting it, with the fetal pigs and all that. And he's like dad jokes all day. So, which, I love that kind of stuff. So I was like, oh, this is cool, and then, I mean, who in the 80s did not like Karate Kid, right? I mean, I had seen it multiple times, of course, and blah, blah, all that stuff, but I didn't really realize. And I told, when I shot season two, I told Josh this. Josh and I were having a conversation and, I got really emotional, like in the first few episodes of it, because they were showing all that footage from the original, but from different points of view and stuff. Cause they used footage that wasn't used for the original, Karate Kid, right? Yeah. So it was from Johnny's point of view instead of how it was originally shown to us, and I was like, it was so weird. It just like got so nostalgic. Like it was so cool, And so I guess it even meant more than I thought, And I don't know. But but watching the first season, I was like, this is the best of the way this could have ever turned out. Cobra Kai, the way they're telling story and weaving in new stories and bringing back old relationships and flipping the script on, what we think about the relationships. And they're just brilliant. The guys are brilliant at it, and the actors are phenomenal. The kids that they brought in and stuff.
Oh, yeah, they're really good.
Oh, and I have to tell you, with that too, it's, as you probably heard from other people, is like something like that for a role like mine, I had no idea if I was ever coming back, like it's not like they were like, and literally the end of the year Because I shot the last episode of season two that I was in December. So like that was just like a nice Christmas surprise, you know, like
yeah.
Because I didn't know I was coming back. And so I got to sit there all day too. It's like when they're in the foyer and all that stuff with her flipping over the rail and going up the stairs, and I got to watch them. I sat there and watched them shoot all of that all day, and those stunt performers and then the actors doing some of the stunts and the fighting. I got to watch them all day. It was like heaven. They were so good. So like you can't. It's so fun. It's just so fun.
I think Matt explained to me as well that was a quite famous scene, the corridor scene on that fight at the beginning when they're shooting down the corridor, and it ends with I can't remember his name. Oh, how embarrassing. The older guy.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's going to shout and scream at this when we're watching this now. But yeah, when it came out, I think...
Oh, as a security guard?
Yeah, because that was all one scene. That was all one shot. Sorry, one shot.
Oh, one shot.
Said, yeah.
Oh, insane. Like, they're so good.
With the gadgets and the stunts switching over and switching costumes and as they're going down.
Oh, they're massive. The actors and the amount of time that they put into that, and just the commitment of it, and the stunt performers. Though I still can't, I just cannot. Paul Hauser, is that who you're talking about?
Yeah.
Killer, man.
Yeah, those stunts, especially in that final scene, and then obviously, I think every parent who's got a kid in school who's been in a fight was screaming at you on that line. It's like, I don't get paid enough for this.
Right? Yeah, you know, and that's so funny. When I got it, I was like, oh, this is what I get to do. Okay, this is cool. Yeah. You know? It's a fun little memorable, you know.
Oh, God, yeah. It's like, that's what I mean. You know, you were memorable, the memorable performances, because you walked out, see the other teacher get floored. It's like, I don't get paid enough for this crap. No,
this is not happening.
But the story of it, as I say, I mean, it's brilliant. Like you say, the way that they've twisted the tale around, and you feel sorry for John. I think I put it on Facebook just today. Someone mentioned about the scenes where Ralph and Billy are together. And I said, some of those scenes are the best scenes, because I said, it's just showing you've got lifelong enemies and all you need to do is just scratch off a little bit of the surface and realize, take away the animosity and realize, actually, you know, you've got loads in common. You know, there's no need to be like that just because of, and it's a waste of life is through hatred and stuff, you know, and it's absolutely perfect at sort of explaining that and showing that. And I'm Team Johnny. I'm actually, you know, until Thingamajig took over, Kreese came back in.
Yeah, right. Oh, my God.
I was Cobra Kai all the way, because I was like, go on, Johnny. I'm rooting for Johnny. You know, I'm sorry, Ralph, but I thought Danny was a bit of an ass.
Yeah, he was a jerk, right? Yeah, they set that up so well. He was so, like, out of touch and, like, yeah.
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 That's why it's worked, I think, is so well, because it's like people are like, whoa. And like the original footage used to twist the tale, so like, you know, it's like Johnny's like, I'm the one who's getting bullied by this kid Dan Russo all the time. Absolutely spot on. Yeah. Brilliant. I mean, sorry, go on.
No, go ahead. What were you saying?
Oh, no, I was going to say, obviously we've got season three as well. I know you wouldn't be able to talk about it if you did, but if we saw Mr. Palmer come back, which we hope we do. And I'm trying to word this carefully because I don't want anyone getting in trouble, because I know obviously until it's aired, no one can talk about season threes. Would you like to see, obviously, Mr. Palmer developed as a character some more?
Yeah, I mean, of course.
It's work.
Like all the time. You know, we were, you know, Aaron Danger and I, when she got cast and then I got cast, I said, well, this is a perfect setup for us to have some torrid love affair or something. We were laughing about that. And then, it's just, we play around all the time. And, you know, with me running out from the end of season two, you know, we all thought, oh, well, maybe he needs to go and take some, go to one of the dojos and learn some, karate. So he's, I don't know. But, you know.
See, well, that'd be a cracking story arc, that, for season three, wouldn't it? Yeah, you get the teachers and the counsellors and everyone else is like, right, hang on, I had enough of this shit. If that's breaking out in school, we need to learn it ourselves.
Right, an in-school dojo.
Yeah.
A teacher's dojo.
Yeah, maybe that's how Johnny and Danny team up together as well. You got Kreese, and then you got Danny, Johnny, and then you got they're competing against the school dojo.
There you go, right, yeah. Or it'd be the most boring thing that could ever happen in the show would be that they team up and have they just put together school presentations for the teachers. Like, it's just like a teacher safety protocol, and that's all they do for season three. They just go around to high schools in the community and
yeah,
safety techniques. That's it. That's there you go, season three.
I'm sure it'd be a lot different.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. That's funny. And I said, obviously season two ended on that penultimate of like, wow. That, but the, like I said, we're not going to go. I won't go into it again. We talked about the fights. The fight scene. I literally was on the edge of my seat. It's been quite a while since I've been on the edge of my seat for that long in suspense at something, because you knew something was going to happen, but yeah, you're just like, oh my god! And then it's like, isn't it now? No. As you say, so well done by everybody involved, even behind the camera, in front of the camera. It was absolutely amazing.
Yeah, and to see, and like I said, to be there and watch these experts, these people who are at the top of their field do their thing. It's the best. It's the best. And then I also go, I'm glad I don't have to do that. That's
cool. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's one of the behind the scenes jobs you don't run like that.
Nah, it's not pretty certain, yeah.
Excellent. So I've got a signature question as well before I draw this to a close, because I know I've been talking to you and rabbiting on for you for all most of your morning now. I think this is actually came after we spoke last. So this will be different. I had Mike Quinn. He's been a puppeteer for Jim Henson for 30 years. Mm. He came on my show and someone sent the question in, and I've asked it ever since to everybody. So, most people I can. Some people have turned around and said, what is, you know, they didn't understand what it was because they were too young to actually acknowledge these. But if you could have a Muppet created after you, what Muppet would it be and why? And not Trekkie.
I have a Muppet.
Yeah, after your own person. It's a good personality question, this, to be fair. What kind of...
Oh my gosh, that's tough. But we're not picking one. We're not picking one that's already exists, though, right?
Yeah, if you want to, it can be one that exists. Okay. You can mix a couple together.
Oh man, I don't know. That's a tough one. What Muppet would I? What Muppet would I be? I think, you know who I would really want to be is the Swedish Chef.
Hurdy-gurdy-gurdy.
My ancestry is Swedish, and I love to cook. So
there you go, perfect.
I kind of feel like, I'm already kind of him.
You just need the big white hat, big mustache. It's like, hurdy-gurdy, throw chicken in the basket.
Yeah,
even got the impression. See, I think mine would be Kermit being the presenter. I actually sang, because I said, why are there so many songs about rainbow?
Impression. Love me some Kermit.
Sorry, everyone who's watching and listening to that. That's
great.
That's how this show started out, with me doing bad impressions and like, it's like,
did it really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
It wasn't even yes. I was motivating people because the show got cancelled. And so I just started cracking up and I'd do the impressions for my son, who found them hilarious. I did them on the thing and people thought them quite funny. I actually went to Disney and did my Donald Duck and my Goofy to them.
The characters
of Disney World. And my Goofy's, we're walking to the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. Something like that.
Nice.
And the Donald, it's McDonald. So
nice.
They're not brilliant, but yeah.
Pretty damn good.
They were enough to get the characters go to me.
Oh, good. There you go. You got some. Got a little something from them.
Oh yeah, I did Yoda to Kylo Ren guy, and he just looked at me disdainfully. So I guess
it's kind of a weird character, right?
Yeah. I was like, right, okay, you can't really do anything else, can you? That's what you've got to do. Cool. Is there anything, Dustin, before we stop recording, because it's been fantastic chatting to you again, is there anything you'd like to say to people or who are watching and listening on this?
Just stay safe and sane. Take care of you and yours. That's the first thing. Be kind to others. Have a little empathy for everybody's situation. And I think that's one thing that Cobra Kai is kind of teaching us as well, is like, there's always another side. So look into that other side and open your eyes to others, you know. I think that, and, you know, enjoy content, enjoy storytelling. It's what we do, and we do it for you, you know. We like people to watch and appreciate what we do. And hopefully we move them and you learn something sometimes or whatever. But, yeah, I think that's the biggest thing.